As we're turning to hymn 84 this morning, we'll continue to worship the Lord. I love this song by William Featherstone. Just a classic hymn of the faith. These old hymns of the faith, boy, what a touch of the Lord upon them. The message, the messages in them are just incredible. Hymn number 84, beloved. And remain seated for our final hymn prior to the message. First and second. This morning, and that's why you're in his house, to worship him and give him all the praise. Well, praise the Lord. Good singing this morning. And it's so good to have these youngsters with us today. What a blessing. We love when we have the young ones. And let's grab our Bibles this morning. We will sing again after the message. If anybody needs a Bible, we do have some available. Pew Bibles. Praise the Lord. There you go. And open up your Bible this morning, church, to the book of Hebrews. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Won't be long this morning, but indeed we have a message of great encouragement from the 13th of Hebrews. And I want to encourage you in your walk of faith today, because there is one who will never leave your side, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bleak the picture looks, no matter how dark the tunnel may be. There is someone who will be there with you and for you. Glory to God. Look with me here in Hebrews chapter 13. The apostle, we know it's Paul because of so many hints the Holy Spirit gives us, but he didn't want to let the Hebrews know that it was him, because they considered him a traitor for getting saved and serving Jesus Christ. But the apostle says here, he spent 12 chapters showing the superiority of Jesus Christ to the Jews. The superiority over Moses. He shows them his superiority over the angels. He shows them his superiority over Abraham, over the law, over the old covenant. And he says, this is what we need today, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And in chapter 13, we have a most incredible message from him. Look in chapter 13, and I love how it starts out telling us that some of us entertain angels unknowingly. I love that. That's why we need to treat people right. They could be an angel, right? Look at verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, before we continue to read, I love the context of what we're fixing to read here, having to do with marriage. Amen? When you accepted Jesus Christ, you said, I do, and he said, I do too. You entered into a holy matrimony covenant with him. He became yours, and you became his. Amen? Look at verse 5. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Beloved, I want to use verse 5 as my text this morning, and I want to preach a message to you I've entitled, Never, No Never, No Never. Father in heaven, how we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have promised to never abandon us this side of glory. How we thank you that Jesus Christ has made a divine promise who cannot lie, that he will be with us even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm thankful that we can count on the Son of God each and every day. And Father, I'm thankful for the Spirit of Jesus Christ that indwells us, leads us and guides us and strengthens us in our Christian walk. But Lord, most importantly of all, we are grateful this morning that we are not alone. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, Jesus is with us. He will never, no never, no never leave us. I love that. And I'm so thankful this morning for that fact. Bless your word this morning, Father. Bless it, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Beloved, here in the 13th of Hebrews, we have a divine word of promise directly from God's own mouth. Amen. To every one of his sons and daughters. This is to all of us. Whenever we see the words, he hath said, we can know that he will do what he had said. Amen? How many of you know this morning that you can believe what God says? Because God does not lie like men. God always tells the truth, and he always does what he says he'll do. When God says never, he means never. So I want to be an encourager this morning to every one of us that he will never, no never, no never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, people are funny. People change they're fickle. They change their mind about you. They want to know you one day, and then all of a sudden they're gone. You notice that? People can change, and people can leave us and forsake us, don't they? But I'm so glad this morning that there is one who never will leave us or forsake us, as he promised. I want us to view these words this morning very carefully. I want us to view them in four ways this morning, church, and I'll be done. First, I want us to view them as a great quotation. Secondly, we'll view them as a very personal promise. Thirdly, we'll view them as a motive for contentment. And finally, we'll view them as a reason for great courage. But first, I want us to view these words as a great quotation. Look at it in verse number 5. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, glory, beloved. The Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul in verse 5 to quote from the scriptures of the Old Testament. But why? Why would he do that? I believe it's because he wants us to know this morning that just as he was with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, he is with us the same today. And just as he never forsook them in the wilderness, he will not forsake us today. Amen? It's a great quotation. People like to quote, you know, famous poets, and they want to quote Buddha, and they want to, you know, they want to quote Plato, and not Plato, kids, but Plato with a T. They want to quote these famous persons. But Paul says, I want to quote somebody who will never let you down. It's a great quotation because of the person who gave it. Amen? Let's quickly examine what the Lord had said. Where did he say this? Why did he say this? Go with me to Joshua in the Old Testament. Quickly, I want you to see where and why the Lord said this in the Old Testament. He's quoting from Joshua chapter 1. Look with me here. Moses is dead in Joshua chapter 1. The young leader, Joshua, has taken the helm of the children of Israel to lead them in to the promised land. You know what Joshua's name is in the Greek? It's Jesus. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. Now look at here. He's going to quote from Joshua 1. Look at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now, so, who is speaking to Joshua in this passage? The Lord. Right? It's the Lord. Moses, my servant, is dead. God talking. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So as I was with Moses, so I will be what?
With thee.
With thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why, Joshua? Why, Lord? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Church, I want you to see from this passage this morning that God told the man Joshua that he was not to be afraid because he would be with him. He would hold him by the hand and he would carry him through. Amen? Now let me ask you a question. What if Joshua didn't believe that promise? Would God still be with him? Yes! God wasn't making a conditional promise to him, but it was unconditional. God's saying, here's what I'm going to do, boys. I am going to be with you. I am going to deliver you. I am going to take care of you all of the days of your life. He said in verse 4, I believe it is, no man, verse 5, shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a promise. I mean, you could walk up to Arnold Schwarzenegger and challenge him to a fight, you know. I mean, you couldn't lose. Why? Because the Lord is with thee. Glory to God. I'm so glad. It's a great quotation from Joshua chapter 1. Now, three things I want us to see concerning this great promise, this great quotation. First, go with me to Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, we have a man named Jacob. And Jacob has dreamed a dream. Look at this. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is afraid of his brother Esau. Esau said, I'm going to kill you. And he was afraid. He lost faith, right? God didn't want him to be afraid. God wouldn't let Esau hurt Jacob. And God wanted Jacob to know that. So here in Genesis 28, look at verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. and lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached unto heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, not to Esau, to thee, Jacob, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee, Jacob, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am what?
With thee.
I am with thee, Jacob. God said, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not, what?
Leave thee.
I will not leave thee until I have done that which I've spoken to thee of. Here, listen carefully. God says to this Jacob, when he was setting out in life, he was young, and so he says the same to all young believers embarking on life's journey, I will be with thee. I will not leave thee. I will not forsake thee. I will give you certain things. Amen? Oh, beloved, I'm so glad. It's a great quotation because of the one who said it. I'm so glad this young lady in the front pew, my granddaughter, I'm so proud of her, that the Lord will not leave her. The Lord will not forsake her. Why? Because she belongs to Jesus. Amen? She's one of his children, and he will not let her down. I'm so glad. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. That's a promise to a person. But how about a promise to a nation? Oh, I love this. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, look with me at verse number 6. Verse number 6. Now, this is God speaking. Amen? Look at it. Be strong. Moses is telling the children of Israel. God's telling them what to say. Be strong, verse 6, and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor what?
Forsake
thee. He won't forsake thee. He won't leave thee. He won't let you down. He won't abandon thee. I love it. Verse number 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses says, children of Israel, let's go forward. Be why? Because the Lord is with us. We can take those Amalekites, we can mow down those Canaanites, and we can take that land. Certain of them believed that. Most of them didn't. Now here, God said the same thing to his people Israel who were going into battle with the Canaanites. I will be with thee. Are you getting the picture? He says it over and over and over. And in Hebrews 13 verse 5, he says to you, child of God, I will never, no, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thirdly, go with me to 1 Chronicles. It's a great quotation. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we have what we call the dedication of the temple. Amen? The house of God. And look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 28 at verse number 20. David is charging his son Solomon before the Lord to serve him as king over Israel. Amen? Watch what he says to him. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good what?
Courage.
Courage. Seems we've heard those words somewhere. Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. That's 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Why, David? For the Lord God, even my God, will be what? With thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now, notice here the word service in verse 20. God says the same thing to all those who would choose to serve him today in whatever ministry he leads them to. It might be a prayer ministry. It might be a gospel track ministry, like Carol gave that testimony this morning, speaking to that lady about her soul, giving her that gospel track, saying, this tells you how to be saved. This tells you how to get to heaven. That's a ministry. Amen? And God was with her when she was witnessing to that woman. Listen, folks, there are so many more places in the Bible. We haven't scratched the surface where these words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, are found as we find it in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Now, Hindus often quote what Guru Maharishi said. Buddhists are known for quoting Buddha. Mormons quote Joseph Smith or Moroni, the so-called angel. Others love to quote the Dalai Lama or Muhammad or the Pope. But Paul points straight to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and boldly proclaims, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't care what all those others have to say this morning, beloved. I only want to know what my God says to me. And he says, I will not leave you, Bob. I will not forsake you. I will not let you down. Be strong and of a good courage, therefore. Folks, listen. I know Christians that are full of fear and anxiety and worries today. And I say, I want to shake them and say, wake up! Jesus is with you. He won't let you down. You don't have to fear. I'm so glad this morning. TV commercial you've all seen. When Merrill Lynch speaks, people listen. How about when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks? How much more do we need to listen to what he had said? Amen? We view these words first as a great quotation. But secondly this morning, let us view them as a great personal promise. Look at verse number 5 again. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. We'll be coming back. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he has said, I will never leave. What's the next word?
Thee.
Thee, child of God. Nor forsake
thee.
Folks, you know what I'm seeing here in verse 5? That this great quotation is a great personal promise to thee and thee and thee and thee and thee. I am so glad this morning that this personal promise is to me and to you and to every human being who will choose Jesus Christ in their life. Brethren, here's the good news. That is that these precious words are spoken directly, lovingly, and personally to you, and you, and you, and you. Now notice carefully in verse 5. I want you to look at three pronouns. He, I, and thee. In verse 5. Three personal pronouns between him and you. It's personal. Amen? Salvation is personal. It's one-on-one. It's you and Jesus. I'm so glad this morning that anybody in this world can enter into a personal relationship with Jesus by saying, I do. I receive him. I believe him. And I trust him for my eternal soul. Listen, beloved, the Greek text of verse 5 contains 5 negatives. I don't find this in any other verse in the entire Bible where this occurs. 5 negatives. It reads in the Greek construction. Let me read it to you in the Greek. It reads, for he had said, I will never, no, never, no, never leave thee nor forsake thee. 5 negatives. In one verse, he's trying to get your attention. Amen? He's trying to get you to see that he will never leave you. And he's never, 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 never. 5 times. Wow. Listen, that's in case we don't get it the first time, or the second time, or the third time. He keeps saying it. Never, no, never, no, never, no, never. Wow. He wants you to know this, that he loves you so much, that you are so dear to him, that he will never, ever leave you. So what if I sin? He will never, ever leave you. What if I deny him before men? He will never, ever leave. What if I let him down? We all do. Never, ever, ever leave you. It's not conditioned upon your performance. It's his personal promise to you, unconditionally. Look at verse 8. Why won't he leave you? Here's why. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I like that verse because my Jesus doesn't change. It's getting good in here this morning, amen? My Jesus doesn't change. And when he said in the Old Testament, I won't leave you, Joshua, he says in the New Testament, I won't leave you, Carol. I won't leave you, Maki. I won't leave you, Kyle. I won't leave you, Zena. Oh, no, never. No, never. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We, here's another reason why he won't leave you. We have an altar. Oh, this is good stuff, beloved. It's not a physical altar. Look at it. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. That's the Jews under Judaism. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people. What people?
Believers.
That's right. True believers, Mark. You got it. That he might sanctify every true believer that would ever live. Look at it. Verse 12. With his own blood. Not with the blood of the beasts. With his own blood. Suffered without the gate. Where did he do that? On the cross. That's right. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here on earth we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come, which we're going to talk about tonight. You're going to like it. By him therefore, by Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifices of rams, lambs, bulls, and goats. No, wrong version, brother. Look at it. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Why? Because he'll never, never, no, never leave you or forsake you. We can every day, folks, listen, I know life is tough, isn't it? We've all got burdens and problems and trials and tribulations. But every day, I'm here to tell you this morning, church, you can praise him with the fruit of your lips. You can worship him and you can count on him. No matter how many people let you down, no matter how many people disappoint you, and they will, Jesus will never, ever let you down. He's more faithful. He sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you, child of God. He loves you so much, he's going through that trial with you, holding your hand and carrying you. I like that. Footprints in the sand. You all seen footprints in the sand? Why, Lord? Why? There's only one set of footprints there. Oh, that's when I was carrying you. Sometimes he literally needs to carry us. The burdens get so heavy upon us, isn't it? Listen, beloved, this is an awesome passage. I've got a great personal promise for you today. And it's from the King of Kings who cannot lie. The incredible George Mueller. What a man of God George Mueller was. He said, and I quote, "For many years I kept a motto on my desk which read, 'It matters to him about you.'" This is was a literal rendering of the words in 1 Peter 5:7, "For he careth for you." It matters to him about you. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, it matters to him about you and you and you. It matters to him. And he's the one who can do something about whatever you're going through. Oh, we view them as a great quotation. We view them as a great personal promise. But thirdly, this morning, we view them as a, listen carefully, we view them as a motive for great contentment. A motive for great contentment. Look at verse 5 again. "Let your conversation be without covetousness." That's wanting other people's things, coveting and desiring things that aren't yours. "And be content," what's the next word? "Content with such things as ye have." Why, Paul? "For he had said, 'I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee.'" Wow! Beloved, listen, these most gracious words in verse 5 are a great motivator to us for godly contentment, amen, in our lives. They lead us to live above the things of this world. They lead us to a present satisfaction, however bad my situation is. They lead us to rest in our Lord's daily provision. They lead us to a holy security that is sure, enduring, and divine. They lead us to consider discontentment as being sinful. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "The godliness with contentment is great gain." For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment convenient, let us therewith be content. Let us therewith be content. You know what these words are? These words are a great motive for godly contentment, beloved. Listen, let me tell you why. Why are these words such a motive for godly contentment? Because when you've got Jesus Christ, you've got everything you need for eternity. You may not have two nickels to rub together, and you may live in a cardboard box, Mark. But you may have no right leg, Mark. You all get that one. But he's got Jesus. Amen. He doesn't need a right leg. He's going to get a glorified one when he gets to heaven. Folks, listen to me. No matter what situation you find yourself in life, you've got Jesus Christ with you. Amen? Philippians 4. Go with me. Hold your place again and flip back to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Oh, look at this text. This is great stuff. Paul speaks from experience when he says be content. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, that's covetousness, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. Content. Why, Paul? I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Did you catch the reason why Paul was content in whatsoever state he found himself in? Verse 13 is your answer. Jesus Christ was with him, and he said, I can go through anything in this world and in this life because Jesus Christ strengthens me. Did you see it? Folks, listen to me. We can be content with such things as the Lord has provided because along with those things comes Jesus Christ himself. And even if we lose those things, we still have Jesus Christ himself. Oh, this is such good news this morning. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the greatest number of marriages for one person in history is 19. The record was achieved by an American named Glenn DeMoss Wolfe, who married his first wife in 1931. Mr. Wolfe keeps two wedding tuxedos in his bedroom closet for ready use. When asked if there were any regrets, Wolfe replied, "Yes, indeed. I have had to suffer through 19 mother-in-laws, 18 miserable wives, and countless alimony payments." Beloved, it is obvious that Mr. Wolfe had great discontentment in his life. He probably still does, amen. Married 19 times, he was discontent. He was never satisfied with what he had. But you and I, we can be content. Look at it, Hebrews 13, verse 5, "For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Beloved, look at the context. Verse 4, the marriage bed. And verse 5, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You see how intimately personal this is? It's just like a marriage covenant between man and woman. I said man and woman. Amen? We gotta clarify that these days. But listen, beloved, it's just like that. He has entered into a matrimonial contract with you when you accepted Jesus Christ. And he will not abandon his wife, no matter what she does. Hear what I said? No matter what. Eternal security of the believer is secure forever. I'm so glad of that this morning. It doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon his finished work. Okay, we've seen these words as a great quotation. Amen. We've seen them as a great personal promise. We've seen them as a great motivation for godly contentment. But finally this morning, let us view them as a reason for great courage. A reason for great courage. Look at it, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Woo! I don't know about you, but I really like this pot. Amen? They are a reason for great courage. Folks, you know when David got out there against old Goliath? Goliath was about 10 feet tall, weighed about 550 pounds, and little scrawny David, a runt, comes out there with a slingshot. And God. And God. He wasn't alone when he faced that giant. And he slew him because God directed that stone into the center of his brain. Amen? You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid of anything because Jesus is with you. Jesus is so present with you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God, beloved. I want to encourage you this morning that no matter what you or I are facing in our lives, this promise is reason for great courage. We can hold up our head, continue on the beaten path of faith with a great courage, with great confidence and complete assurance that my God holds my hand and he won't let it go. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In closing, I want to give you three reasons for taking great courage. First, because our helper is greater than all our foes. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 2. Hold your place in 13. We're coming back. In Hebrews chapter 2, the first reason you need to take great courage is because our divine helper is greater and more powerful than all our foes. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 14. Don't miss this. For as much then as the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might what? Destroy him, that's Satan, that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He says you don't have to be afraid, child of God, because Jesus beat your greatest enemy. That's the devil. He's a beaten foe. He's that received the knockout blow from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's semi-conscious. He's going down to hit the mat. Already. Amen? The battle's already won. The blow has already been delivered. And he says, I am more powerful than any foe that can possibly come against you. Secondly, why should we take great courage? First, because he's greater than all our foes. Secondly, because our foes are entirely in his hand. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 1. You know that every enemy you can face is in the hand of Jesus Christ, under his foot. That's right. The Bible says they're under his feet. Look at it. Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times, that's several, and in diverse manners, that's differing ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. By the way, I like that parenthesis, amen. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding, what's the next word? All things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know what he said in verse 3? He said, everything in the universe is in the hand of Jesus Christ, my son. Everything. Does that include your enemies? Yep. Yep, it does. Does that include sickness? Yep. Yep, it does. Does that include financial problems? Yep. Anything you could name is in the hand of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, beloved, I hope you're getting the picture this morning. You can take courage in that trial you're going through because he is with you and it's in his hand. Thirdly, why can we take great courage? Because we are commanded to be bold and courageous. Go to Matthew 28. Hold your place in Hebrews. Matthew 28, we'll finish up. I'm so glad that we can take courage. The world is full of fear today, folks. They're afraid of the stock market crashing. They're afraid of Putin nuking us. They're afraid of what's happening with ISIS. They're afraid of Ahmadinejad and Israel and Hamas going to war and a big war breaking out. Look at this. Matthew chapter 28. Here's why you don't need to be afraid. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them and said, what's the next two words?
All power.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am what?
With
you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, here's why you need to go, boys. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. Like all those who've hurt you in your life. I'm not like them. I'm faithful and true. Glory to God. And this is why we need to take great courage and be bold, because he's commanded us to be so. Amen. My message this morning is never. No, never. No, never. And I'll close with the third stanza of How Firm a Foundation. And I quote, it reads, listen, that soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. Though that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Aren't you glad this morning, church, that we can depend upon Jesus, because he will never, no, never, no, never forsake you. He loves you, child of God. Hold your head up against the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin, and say, my Jesus is with me, and you can't have me. Amen? Be bold. Be courageous. Trust in him, and he will see you through. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. Oh, how we thank you this morning that you will never, no, never, no, never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that's all we need to know. That's the message of the Bible today. That's what the world needs. They need Jesus Christ. They need to know him personally. They need to enter into covenant with him. And they need to trust him because of what you said. What a great quotation, Lord. It's downright personal. It's to me. And it's to every true believer. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can be content with such things as we have. I'm so thankful that we can take courage because of the one who said it. I'm so thankful that the simple truth is that Jesus Christ is with me today and forever, because he changes not, verse 6 says. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name for your holy promise. And Lord, we will stand upon this promise in verse 5 until our dying day, till we take our final breath and pass into glory, to be with you in heaven forever. We thank you that you're with us forever here in this life, all the way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Let's grab our hymnals this morning for a closing hymn. My granddaughter, oh, she was intent on every word this morning. She's learning, I tell you. Praise the Lord. I think she's going to be a missionary or something. I don't know. Look with me here. Beloved, let's open up our hymnals and we'll stand for our final hymn. And go to 179. Here is the hymn that says it all concerning what we've been discussing this morning. We need to be standing on the promises like this one. Amen? That's why I love my King James Bible. It is full of promises for me that cannot fail. I'm so glad of that. I can trust in him. And I can bank upon his promises. What did I do with my remote? Trying to hide on me, eh? 179, let's stand, beloved. And we will sing all four, appropriately.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I am standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fail. When the howling doubts of the days assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God on the third, standing on the promises of hope and sea, perfect as cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. We're standing on the promises of God, everybody, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God on the fourth, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, everybody, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Glory! Great singing this morning, church, and I'm so glad we're standing on that promise of Hebrews 13, verse 5. For He had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget tonight, church, we're going to have a great service tonight because we're going to be looking at the eternal order. What are we going to be doing in eternity? Oh, it's going to be great. Brother Kyle?
We thank you, Lord, for the great promise you have given us and for the knowledge and comfort and understanding that it's a true promise, one that you'd never fail on. No matter what it is that comes into our lives, we know that we can depend on you and you'll always be there to uphold us, to help us, to guide us through the troubled waters. We ask you, Lord, just to walk with us and help us, Lord, to continually keep that thought in mind, to know, Lord, that you're always there. You'd never forsake us in any way. And when the waters get too deep and the sand gets too difficult to trod through, the only ones that have footprints, but they're yours. We know, Lord, that you're the one and only that can guide us through, and you've already defeated our one and only foe that could ever harm us. Pray that we'd be with you and walk with you, and you'd guide us along that way. We ask you, Lord, to be with us through this day, help us through this day, and to guide us back this evening, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.